Welcome to the Gay Buddhist Forum, where teachers from all schools of Buddhism offer their perspectives on the Dharma and its application in modern times, especially for LGBTQI audiences. These talks are offered freely to the world and made possible by appreciative listeners. If you would like to support our efforts to share the Dharma with underserved audiences, please visit gaybuddhist.org. There you can donate, find a list of upcoming speakers, or enjoy many hundreds of these recorded talks dating back to 1996.
Welcome back. At this point in our program, we go around the room and introduce ourselves, first and last name, or first name, if you're more comfortable with that. And just remember a short pause between the person before you and you and maintain mindfulness as we introduce ourselves and hear our names. I'm David Lewis.
I'm Douglas Hall.
I'm Bob Silkan.
I'm Shantanu Phukan.
I'm Freddie.
I'm Barry Friedman.
My name is Michael.
My name is Sulik.
My name is Richard.
My name is Andrea Smith.
I'm David Lukaku.
My name is Tony Pasqua.
My name is Robert.
My name is Derek.
My name is Manoj.
My name is Bob Hamilton.
And Jack. That's good.
My name is Joe.
My name is Adam.
Peter.
Oswaldo Garcia.
Anthony.
My name is Jerry.
I'm David.
Glenn.
I'm Mike.
Paul Shepard.
I'm Mark.
I'm Mark.
I'm Rob.
My name is Jerry.
My name is Harley Shapiro.
My name is Adam.
My name is Cass Brita.
I'm Kaleo.
My name is Ned Moran.
William.
My name is Ray Dyer.
I'm Jim Winters.
My name is Roy.
My name is Patrick.
I'm Clint.
I'm Paul.
My name is Lee Robbins.
My name is Robert.
My name is Richard Azzolini.
My name is Bill Jones.
Gary Dexter.
My name is JJ.
David Axel.
I'm George.
My name is Mario. Namaste.
My name is Jerry Martin.
I'm Steve.
My name is Jerry Jones.
Miss anybody?
Rich.
Rick.
Michael.
Michael. Welcome, everybody. Our speaker this morning is Daniel Reichshoffen. Am I pronouncing that right?
No, Shaven? But it's a hard name. Reichshoffen.
Reichshoffen. Daniel is a psychotherapist and meditation teacher in the San Francisco Bay Area who integrates cutting-edge psychological techniques with ancient wisdom traditions. Daniel convenes a yearly national conference on mindfulness and education at the Omega Institute, as well as being one of their core meditation teachers. Daniel helped develop the correct curriculum for mindful schools and now consults for schools and organizations to institute mindfulness-based curriculum. Daniel began his meditation practice living at Thich Nhat Hanh's monastery in France when he was 19. Since then, he has committed himself to intensive practice in the Vipassana tradition, as well as studying various movement and nature-based awareness practices. More information can be found at nowcounseling.com, and this is from our newsletter, so that website is on our newsletter. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you. So what I was interested in talking about today, I was thinking we could actually start with a quick meditation on focusing on two of the main points of Buddhist practice, which is also two of the main points of existence as I see it, the two main focuses being, one, how to relax and accept the present moment as it is, and the other one, how to have extreme dedication and focus, the two of which seem like opposites on some level. It could seem like one of them is trying to change what's happening right now and the other one is trying to accept what's happening right now. But they're two sides of the same coin. I find that they're both very important. So one of them, and both in our meditation practice, the piece around focus and determination, as the Buddha exemplifies his determined practice, it wasn't as if he was just letting go and relaxing and saying existence is fine as it is. There was an extreme seed of discomfort and suffering that he was aware of, that he focused himself to an extent that is barely imaginable. And so there's this extreme focus and determination we need to be able to sit with in our practice, and that is shown in our body posture, in the way that we understand the world, in the way that we commit ourselves to our own liberation. But if we're only doing that, our meditation practice gets extremely rigid. It gets kind of army style. And I've, knowing this from my own meditation practice, when I've just gotten into this long retreats where I'm just focusing and focusing and focusing, I leave and my body's actually really tight. I'm tense and it's not actually letting go into what is. So if we're only focusing on that dedication, we lose the world around us. We can lose our interconnected awareness. And on the other side, acceptance of what is, when we just completely relax into our meditation practice, which of course is very important to open our awareness to hear whatever sound is arising, feel whatever sensation is arising, that just the open field of consciousness where, like when after the rains are falling here, new seeds just popping up here and there. The same with our bodies, feeling new sensations, new sounds at every moment. That experience of just open awareness. If that's all we're doing, it can give rise to what Chögyam Trungpa calls stupid meditation, which can be very enjoyable, and simultaneously our mind can just be awash. And there isn't this center point. And sometimes the mind can go to this place and this fantasy and that fantasy. And if left unchecked, that's the way that we often live our lives and our culture goes about its destructive practices in the world. So in the kind of non-dual concept of how do we harness both of these, and instead of the idea of, at first it's important to be able to embody one and then embody the other. Notice determination, notice openness, relaxation. But then what's important is how to do both at the same time. The concept of not either or, but both and more. Concept of how do we, it's easy when we think about the non-dual tradition to think of not A or B, but it's actually both. How to embody both simultaneously, both fully. So how do we completely experience relaxation and completely experience determination at the exact same time? So just to embody this, to get a sense of this, we'll just sit for a few minutes. And what I'll invite you to do is on your in-breath to feel your spine being pulled up from the crown of your head and embodying that warrior determination. And on the out-breath, to just completely relax your body, to let everything go, can be completely open, letting yourself into the river of experience. And then again, with the in-breath, feeling your spine upright, focused, determined, aware of the breath, not missing a single moment. And then again on the out-breath, just releasing yourself into the flow, letting every muscle dissolve. continuing to feel your breath, seeing if instead of on the in-breath, the straightening, and the out-breath, the relaxation, seeing if you can embody both of those senses at the same time, feeling the openness and relaxation and the determined focus at once. Slowly bringing your attention back. So when we do this practice, it's important to be able to continually focus on these two attributes in our meditation and also in our daily lives. And what I wanted to actually offer the Sangha today is a little discussion on a New Year's resolution from a Buddhist context. So these two concepts of determination and focus and of relaxation, how to bring that into your New Year's resolution, which is usually focused on just this determination of I'm going to quit smoking, or I'm going to have a deeper meditation practice, or I'm going to lose some weight, or whatever it is. So on some level, if we look at it in a Buddhist context, it could seem like an evasion. Like this idea of a resolution is wanting to get away from the present moment, wanting to have what we don't have. So this concept of, if I could lose some weight, then the idea is I'm not happy with my body as it is right now. I'll be happy if, or I need a good relationship, I'll be happy if. So an idea of putting yourself into the future. So that would be instead of the openness to the present moment, that would be all in this realm of determination and focus towards goal, and missing some of this embodiment of here I am in this on this day, in this moment, in this body. And what was coming to me as we were sitting and I was opening up my field of awareness to this community, to this Sangha, to my breath, I was hearing each person, everybody's breath, just the profound phenomena of getting to share some breaths, share this determination with a whole group to be awakened. The tragedy I find of our reality is that that's not good enough for us. That actually getting to just enjoy our breath and our body and share this with each other, that somehow there's this seed within us that feels like this isn't okay. I need something outside. You know, this is pretty good that we get to have bodies and get to breathe with each other and get to share these experiences, but if I lost 5 pounds, then it would be really good. So that's a really important concept, and the determination, of course, is important. We don't want to pretend that it's not, because if it was all just about the relaxation and saying this moment is perfect, then we wouldn't be aware of the people out on the street who don't have food. And we wouldn't be aware of the places in the world where there's war going on and where there are serious problems. And there are also serious struggles within our own psyches and within our own bodies. So if we just, that's where spiritual bypassing comes in, is if we say to ourselves, oh, it's all just perfect. This is great. And then we forget that, oh, I actually do have some really, really stuck patterns which are disturbing my life, which I do want to actually get over in order to be able to feel more fulfilled. And if we pretend that's not the case and just say everything's perfect, just enjoy the moment, then we don't have the determination. And we need serious determination in order to overcome those patterns. So again, as bringing back the story of the Buddha, who had the perfect life, was a prince, had all of the money and the dancing girls and this and that, and his whole world was created around him, buffered so that he didn't see the suffering. His father didn't let him go out into the streets so that he could see illness and disease and death. So that experience for him of actually experiencing suffering and taking that deeply in and then determining himself to be able to shift it, he could have done the simple thing of, I've got all of this money as a prince, maybe I'll just feed all of these people. Which, of course, would be a very kind and an honorable gesture, but he went beyond this to this point of, I'm going to actually take this determination to the level where I'm going to free myself fully. That being the determination that will be able to be a true gift to everybody. So, what I want to be able to talk about is how we bring this determination, this focus, into our concept of a New Year's resolution, which on the first, I'll actually offer a little exercise for us. So the idea of a resolution, which we can first come to, is just a basic idea. Maybe you've already made one, maybe I'm sure that you all have plenty that you can grasp for. And what we're going to do is we're actually going to pull that resolution back into ourselves to understand what is it that we really want. What is it that we're really, what we're really looking for? Because usually what the experience is if we say, I want a partnership this year. I want a really good partnership, which is a very valid, important desire. But then when we pull it in, what the question becomes is, what is it within you that that feels missing? What in you that's hurting that you're wanting to fix, that you're wanting to shift away from? So that we can really get in to this place, to the wound within, so that that part of you can really ask the question of what it wants itself, so that we can actually lean into the experience. Oh, underneath this desire for a partner is this old wound of never feeling, having felt met, never feeling loved. So, okay, let's see if I can, instead of just very quickly popping away from this feeling, which is what we usually do, and what our meditation practice really can be there for, of learning how to stay, to really stay with the discomfort, with the experience, with the joy as well, but how to stay with the discomfort. So staying with this feeling of never being met or not feeling loved, and when you actually lean into it, really embody it, then that part of you can really ask for what it wants, and then maybe even understand why it is that that part of you is not getting it. Why that part of you is maybe sabotaging yourself over and over again not to get met from its fear or whatever it is. So that's, I'll actually step us through a little exercise going from point to point, actually becoming aware of this resolution to a deeper extent, so that we can. I'm aware of, like, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie The Secret. It's one of these. I think it's a profound movie, and one of the major difficulties I have with it. It's a very Bay Area concept film around being able to manifest what you dream of through active active awareness. You know, if you put it out there, you'll receive it. So I think it's a profound truth that if you focus your reality in a certain direction, that is what is manifested. If you focus your reality in the way continually saying, my life sucks and nobody ever loves me and I'm never gonna, it has a way of perpetuating itself. So that piece of it is very beautiful, and a piece of it that I have difficulty with is how if you've seen the movie, it shows over and over again what they're trying to manifest is sports cars and mansions and things like that, and which is our cultural paradigm. That's what's going to make you happy. So what this exercise is about is how do we focus our consciousness in a direction, but before we do that, and I think it's actually The Secret's a dangerous movie in that way, is because what we all kind of need is before we focus our consciousness in the direction, we need to really know what is the direction that's going to be truly fulfilling instead of just medicating a wound. Because what we'll first do is we'll say, oh, I feel this insecurity, and before we've even touched it, we're out trying to fix it with whatever it is, cigarettes or alcohol or sex or this or that. And none of those things are wrong in themselves, but if it's all about jumping away from the experience, it's never going to actually be able to fill that the wound. So the first piece is actually coming back. What is this ache, and can I be with it? Can I be with this pain? And then once I've befriended this pain, how can it actually name what it really wants? Really ask what it wants, which will be a different thing. And then if we can ask, instead of for I want a great lover, if we can say, I want to feel loved, or I want to feel, I want to be able to rest in connection, or whatever it is, there's a difference. And when it's true that when we name what we want, it actually does come usually. So if we can name what we really want, instead of naming this piece which isn't quite right, we might keep getting it, but it keeps not fulfilling. So, if you want to get back in a posture that... a posture that embodies both our determination, this determination of really wanting to be able to be more fulfilled this next year. If we want to be able to change our patterns, to manifest ourselves in the world, whether it's to make more money or to create more change or to have more fun, whatever it is, we do need determination to break through old patterns. So feeling that upright spine, that focus. And then also this relaxation and acceptance, which we need in order to be able to really lean into, feel into what the hurt and what the presence and what is happening right now. Not jumping away from this experience, whether the mind is crazed, the emotions are chaotic, whatever it is, really allowing this experience. So beginning, just thinking about what resolution you would like to make this year. Just as whatever surface resolution comes in, if you've already made one, or if you have one right now, what would you like to resolve this year? And once you have a resolution in your mind, actually, before we jump into that, does anybody just want to share what a resolution might be? Okay. We'll hold them until the end. So just being aware of our resolution. And then allowing yourself to drop down a little bit, aware of the resolution, and asking yourself the question inside, and not letting your mind answer, but letting your body answer. What is it that this will fill? What is it that you're hoping that this, if you did get this thing, if you could change this, what feels off in you, wrong in you, that it would be able to change? Once you get a sense of this, see if you can actually go a little further into seeing if that feeling that you're wishing to get away from, or that experience you're wishing to get away from, seeing if that's an actual emotion or a physical experience in your body right now. So seeing if right now you can actually get a sense and actually lean into that sense of if there's a discomfort, a pain, a sadness, an anxiety. See if you can actually lean in, feel in to what it is that you would, that your resolution was going to hopefully get rid of. So in feeling this, actually now, if you can really get that sense in your body, seeing if you can give that part of yourself a voice. So if you've become aware of a nervousness or a sadness or a fear, whatever it is that you've gotten in touch with, seeing if you could actually give it like a imaginary mouth that could speak to you. And what this voice will say is, where you can ask yourself, what do you want? What do you really, really want? What is the core desire that you have? And let yourself ask this, and let the voice come, not just with a bunch of thoughts, but see if there's actually any voice that can come of, what do you really, really want? Have any voice arise, see if you can actually feel into what that's like. Feel into what that statement is like. That deeper want. Using the experience of relaxation and acceptance of that deep want, and then also simultaneously feeling the determination and focus to be able to really feed that place, to give that place the love or acceptance or presence that it really wants. for another minute, just coming up with, in a deeper sense of what type of resolution, now that you've seen this part, this deeper want, what type of resolution could you come up with that could be a determination to be able to meet this deeper need? Not with externals, but a way that you could really courageously support this inner part of you. Slowly open your eyes. So, one thing about the word resolution is that it's, I think originally it comes from I think it's the Latin word salve, which is like dissolve. It's like loosening or falling or So resolution has this sense of falling apart, and it's the idea of going back into its original parts, breaking down. And it has, and before resolution, there's like resolution, which is like a mathematical sense of breaking, of like dividing something into its mathematical components. So in this kind of, I like that because it's in this kind of Buddhist context of taking this resolution that what you might have, if the resolution is quitting smoking cigarettes, and breaking it down into the deeper needs, the deeper desires. And you can do what this little path we just did of dissolving this concept of, if I stop smoking cigarettes, then I'll be happier, then I'll be good. And then breaking it down, it might have a few streams. Breaking it down into, I don't feel healthy. I feel like weak or hurting on some level. So that being a deeper part. Or I have this deep craving to feel relaxed and accepted. And that's, you know, this is one of the ways I medicate. So this is another deeper component. So the resolution, actually breaking it down, what are the deeper components of what you want? So I was interested in just opening the floor a little bit, and if anybody wants to share, if that was helpful at all or illuminating at all, if anybody wants to share what that process was like to get a little more in touch with a resolution, and if you came up with anything a little more clear of how you'd like to be able to make a Buddhist resolution, a soul resolution.
Yeah? I'll try to say this. It's a little bit slippery in my mind. I had the awareness that I do sabotage myself from putting out there that I want companionship by asking my relationships in a way to make me feel good without saying that, so that it really never comes out first. So I settle for wonderful men having relationships in other ways without ever saying to the universe, but what I really wanted was a companion.
Mm. Yeah.
So my relationships have kept me from seeking the relationships.
Mm. Yeah, and when you say, because that's the deeper level of you saying, I want a companion, and do you have a sense of what inside of you that would touch, which isn't feeling that? Like, what is the... I mean, I really hear what you're saying. You're saying that there's a way you are really connecting, but there's some part of you which isn't really getting met in the way that you're wanting. There's a deeper way you're wanting connection.
Right. Are you asking me?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm interested in the... It is a slippery thing, because when you get to the more subtle levels, it's language doesn't work as well. But it sounds like...
I would like to have the experience of sighing next to my relationship.
Yeah.
In peace, you know.
Yeah.
So I went through a sequence. I started with the conclusion I came to a little earlier of losing 5 or 10 pounds. And played with that for a while. And I found the process very, very helpful. Two ways of approaching it. And so what I came up with was more intimacy in a dominant relationship. And then when I came to from there, what was the, you know, so what does that mean? Difficult question. And it's a feeling and experience of connection, of not being separate, isolated. And then it reminded me of, you know, it's not the first time I've dealt with this, that it's not about how people react to me, or even what we do or don't do, or how often I see them, it's awareness. If intimacy is being paying attention, something I tend to be in my head a lot, and then it occurred to me, and it's part of the reason why I'm commenting or writing the talk, is that it's really the core issue of Buddhism. What I'm talking about is awareness. And in fact, one can even take to the next stage of awakening. And so it sort of becomes a funny circular thing. How do you awaken? You be awake.
And something you bring up is the concept of awareness and intimacy, right? And on some level, they're the same thing.
Yeah.
When we get down to it, there's this sense of real awareness is intimacy with yourself. It's that sweet intimacy that I'm sure you've all experienced at some point in meditation, where you actually relax into your body and feel how even sensual it is just to have a body and get to sit in it, just feeling the intimate experience of being alive in your own body, which we miss so often.
And what impedes doing this a lot for me, and also the other more minor resolutions, cleaning up my office, losing weight, is for me tension or anxiety.
Yeah.
It's the not relaxing.
Yeah. So that's the sense you got to when you started feeling what is it that I'm trying to run away from, that I'm trying to get away from in losing 5 pounds, or there's a sense of anxiety or tension.
Well, doing it is creates the. Sort of, will I succeed? And and also another piece that occurred to me around that when we were doing the first beginning exercise is, so one of the things people typically do when they diet is it's about not eating. And well, yeah, but you don't give up eating entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So what about the pain, being aware of and enjoying the food that you're already eating?
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that. I know some people in Overeaters Anonymous that, in fact, you're not supposed to weigh yourself, and it's not about what you don't eat. I don't know much more than that, but it's a shift in relationship.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, one of the things I want to do this year is have this idea of getting a puppy. through the process that, through the meditation. Oh, thanks for showing us the process.
Yeah.
I realize it's that need for wanting a dog is a need for having a loving companion that doesn't come with a lot of drama. Or maybe this being will get me a boyfriend. But I just know when I'm around animals and like over Christmas I was home with my cousins and there were a lot of small kids. And I just love playing with them because they have a certain innocence about them and they're just so giving and so loving. And so I think the root of that desire is just to have a certain type of companionship. Mm. And also I find also it's a certain aesthetic that I value. Mm. I mean, I love like beautiful things and things that are nice to look at. So there's a certain dog, a Wheaton Terrier, really I'm attracted to for some reason. And I think if I did get the dog, it would probably fulfill those desires that I have or needs.
Yeah, and those needs that you're talking about, I assume that they would, on some level, you know, you would be able to have that. On some level, those needs would be met, and there's a deeper level of those needs, right? They'll be met on some level by this dog, I'm sure, and on a deeper level, what we're talking about when we get into these needs are core needs that need to be addressed on a deeper way by yourself. Right? Because the external is never going to truly meet that need.
Can you explain more about what a core need is?
Yeah. So a core need is, from our childhood, or even before that, there's the experience of not being met in the way that we wanted to be met. Or what I'm even realizing more myself recently is I used to think that it was more about I didn't get enough love as a kid, but now what I'm realizing more is that when we're born, we're just like 360 degrees of love and excitement and enjoyment. And when our love is not actually accepted, when our love isn't, when we give out our excitement and it's dropped. So there's all these ways, and these become kind of wounds. If as a child I'm totally excited and I do a somersault and my mom or dad just kind of looks away or whatever, there's this way that we kind of contract. And there's this desire that we all have, most people probably when they came to that core truth of what did you really want in your resolution, it's I want to feel more intimacy. I want to feel more love in my life. It's the most core one that I know of. And there's a lot of ways in our childhood that we're all just beings of love. That's what we do. And there's all these ways that we contract because as a child we put it out there and there was nowhere for it to be met, or worse than that, we put it out and we got hurt because of it. And so we've kind of contracted. And so there are, you know, some ways of like, okay, how can I bring this love out in a healthy way, in a way it's going to be met? And there's a good chance this dog, you know, you bring this dog into your life and, yeah, this is going to be a healthy way for you to play with that love that you do have and to get it met and have it come back. In the longer run, that deep desire to feel love and connection wants to be. It's a process of letting that your heart fully open. Which certain external things are helpful to kind of, you know, crowbar it open. But it's not an end in itself.
I think for me what came up was that there's this experience I have almost every day, usually early in the day, where I really don't want to get up. I actually want to just
stay in bed a little longer, even though I have responsibilities to schedule. And I would like, it's a contradiction, sort of paradoxical, I would like to get to know that place better and to feel it and to have it be more me, even though it's very difficult because it interferes with my functioning, it interferes with my, basically my concept of being. But it is absolutely part of my experience of myself. And by pushing it away, I exacerbate or increase the frankly, alienation I have with myself, which is a core piece of what I bring in all my human relationships. So with that within me, like I even had this experience of sitting down in the bus a couple days ago and just started to chat with somebody. Immediately this man told me about the death of his partner of 52 years and all that. And I immediately said, give me your telephone number, I'll get in touch with you, which I will do. But even in that openness, I could feel inside me some pulling back, which has to do with my own pain, with myself. So it's really hard for me to allow that pain to be more there than it is because I have this concept of it preventing me. It's problematic.
And that sounds like an amazing resolution, that could be an amazing resolution, which is that moment when you're having trouble to get up, or when you're having, you know, like when that, it sounds like that time is where it's most acutely present.
Very acute.
So what
frighteningly
acute.
Yeah.
What an opportunity. That's it sounds like this seed is disturbing your whole life. So here you've located, oh, this is the arena in which I can meet it. So sounds like a beautiful resolution of, I'm going to actually step into that arena. I'm going to lean into that moment, knowing full well that if you can meet it there, you're going to be able to have that intimacy with somebody who's hurting more, and you're going to be able to live into that part of yourself. And that part of, since everybody has this type of hurt, you'll be able to truly connect with people more. Yeah. Let me just say, what time do we have? We're going to have one time for one or two more.
I want to surrender to my creator self. I think it's somewhat what you described about the gesture of love from the innocent child giving forth without fear. And I see it now at this time in my life as fulfilling the promise I made to myself.
I think that's a beautiful note to end on. Yeah, thank you. So thank you all so much for your presence, and I guess we will have some time to just convene and chat outside.
Daniel, that was great. Announcements. Do we have any announcements? Gary.
Yes, hi. Dan, thank you for coming and speaking to us. That was great. And happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
And our speaker next week, David Lewis, raise your hand.
We'll just keep going on the time.
Yes, I just like to offer my gratitude for the Sangha and for all of us for such a wonderful place to meet. Also, I'm leaving in a week and a half for a 3-month journey to Asia, and I'm going to be going to Thailand, Cambodia, and Indonesia. So just I'm putting out there, if anybody has any experience there or have any special temples or sites or friends or acquaintances that they'd like to share, I'd appreciate it. And I'm probably in the directory, or my email is harleyshapiro@gmail.com for any connections or network. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, I can't talk about Thailand. What temple? Are you going to temple?
We'll talk.
Hello.
Tony, you are host.
Yes, hi. Happy New Year. I'm your host today. And there are some goodies out there. Please enjoy. I put the compost container right next to the refrigerator, that little refrigerator by the table. So if you have tangerines, you could just put your tangerine rind into the composter immediately. That would be great help. Thank you. If you have some tea, please wash your teacup in the hot, soapy water out there and put it in the drainer. On this side table over here, there are the sign-up sheets. If you want to get on the mailing list for the newsletter, please sign up on that sheet. And the Donna Bowl is next to it, but I'll be walking around with the Donna Bowl. And the suggested donation is $5 to $8, but you can give whatever you can or want to. After the social half hour, there will be some people who will gather by the front door to go out to lunch. If you'd like to join them, just hang out by the front door. And I think that's everything. Did I forget something? Happy New Year.
Any other announcements? Let's gather in a circle and close. Well, as we come together in this first Sunday of a new year, may we dedicate the merit of our practice to all beings joining us in this new year, all beings in our city, in the world. And as we think of our resolutions and what lies underneath them and our deeper wants and needs, our deeper sense of being, may we get in touch with that in this new year. May all beings be in touch with their deepest sense of themselves and their needs. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Thank you for listening to the Gay Buddhist Forum. If you would like to hear several new talks per month and be notified of upcoming speakers so you can participate live, please subscribe to this podcast, like us on Facebook, and join our mailing list by visiting gaybuddhist.org.